Welcome back to episode 21 of The Beer Dad. I'm your host, Patrick Spillman, alongside Grant Ingham and Garrett Heitkamp. And how you guys doing today? It's a nice sunny Sunday, and we got to play a game today, and an unfortunate loss, but against a very good team, in my opinion, the best team in the conference. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But Grant, how you doing?
I'm good. Just tired, long trip to Hanover and back, and then unfortunate to lose, like you said. But you know, happy to talk about a bit more successful sports across campus than us. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot better week for sports across campus, and so it should be a little more uplifting and exciting week for us to talk about. Garrett, how you doing?
Pretty good, Pat. The women's and men's golf both teed off this week, so that'll be interesting to read some about them. And as you said, it was a long trip back from Hanover. Not the result we wanted, but you know, a lot of good Bluffton action to talk about.
Yeah, and that's exactly where we're going to start off with what Garrett said. Also starting out this week, which we'll finish with them, it was outdoor track and field. Yes, we've talked about the indoor, but now we're going to get into outdoor as well. So it's exciting times. Every possible sport that's going to be playing this spring is all playing right now. And so it's kind of exciting, and keeps our life extremely busy. But the Bluffton University golf team kicked off its spring slate at the Indian Ridge Golf Course in Cincinnati on Saturday and Sunday, March 20th and 21st. Bluffton shot a 325 on Saturday and followed it with a 319 on Sunday for an 11th place finish at the MSJ Spring Invite.
Sophomore Justin Metzger led the Beavers with a 158 for the weekend with a 78 on Sunday. One stroke back was Clay Quailhorse, who shot a Bluffton low 76 for a 159 at MSJ. Nathan Eberle fired a 161 thanks to a 77 on Saturday, while Nick Offenberger carded consecutive 82s for a 164.
Bluffton returns to action on Good Friday, April 2nd, for the Randall Sadler Invitational at Harbord Links Golf Course, hosted by Earlham College. Start time on Friday is 1 p.m.
And honestly, for this golf team, I mean, they haven't got outside. This is the first year. I think we've talked about it on this episode on the Beaver Dam before, but they do have it. They finally got a simulator, so they can actually not just be hitting into a net. But it's just not the same as actually being out on a golf course, actually having to adjust to the elements and the wind and the weather and actually walking around a golf course. Like it is tiring on your legs. And so for the guys, I'm sure it felt good. They've had some nice days to be able to get back out there, but for them, it just had to feel good to be finally back out on the course.
Absolutely. Obviously, a simulator can't, condition you for the golf course, walking, like you said, and just all the elements that, being outside brings. And for them to shoot that well is pretty impressive for them to go down there and shoot that well this weekend.
Let's move on to women's golf. They did not compete until this past weekend. The Bluffton University golf team battled cold weathers and wind at the Miami Whitewater Classic on Saturday and Sunday, March 27th and 28th. The Beavers finished 10th with a 797, placing higher than the Heartland Conference rivals Earlham and Defiance at the HCAC preview.
Briley Oberdorf led the way with a 190 thanks to consecutive scores of 95 and 95 on Saturday and Sunday. Sophomore Haley Gill was also under 200 with scores of 99 and 95. Marissa Hall, Grace Branson, and Keely Briggs rounded out the Bluffton scorecards with 203, 211, and 221, respectively.
Bluffton will be off for Easter before returning to the links at the Manchester Duel on Saturday, April 10th. Day one is at Honeywell Golf Course in Wabash, Indiana, with day two at Hillcrest Golf Club in Findlay, Ohio. Just out the back door of head coach Adam Craig's humble abode.
So for this women's golf team, I mean, I think I say the same things with the men. It just feels good to be back out there. This is a team that it's still young. They don't have any seniors on this team. And so just, you know, getting back out on the golf course, actually having the simulator definitely benefited. But for them, it's just, once again, good to be back out on the golf course. And as the weather gets nicer, and as they get more time to be able to be outside, their scores are just going to get better and better.
Absolutely. And anytime you can finish ahead of teams in your conference at any event, especially Defiance, it's good to see that.
Let's move on to baseball. So baseball had a busy week. We have four games to cover here. So let's go ahead and recap all four, and then we'll give a overall recap of baseball altogether here at the end. But the Bluffton University baseball team capped off the weekend with a trip to Anderson University on Sunday, March 21st. Bluffton's bats came alive, but Anderson's offense was in peak form on Sunday as the Ravens swept a pair of high-scoring games, 17-12 and 12-9. The Beavers fell to 1-8 on the season, while Anderson improved to 6-4 overall and in the conference.
With Game 1 knotted 3-3 in the bottom of the fourth, Anderson looked to take control when the home team put 8 runs on the scoreboard. That 11-3 lead was short-lived as Bluffton responded with 7 tallies in the top of the fifth. Reed Rule and Jacob Litovsky delivered the big hits with a 2-run single for Rule and a 2-run double for Litovsky as the Beavers pulled within a run.
A Jackson Rogan single plated Cale Sherborne, and Rule's Zach Fly picked up Adam Duncan an inning later, putting Bluffton up by a run. The Ravens responded with 4 scores in the home half and 2 more in the eighth en route to a 17-12 victory in Game 1 that came up just a few minutes shy of 4 hours on Sunday. Rule drove in 4 runs to lead the offense. Litovsky added 3 RBIs for the visitors. Sherborne crossed the dish 3 times in Game 1. Junior Spencer Garrison took the loss after allowing 8 runs on 10 hits in 3 innings.
Anderson jumped out to a 5-0 lead after just 2 innings before Lenny Winiarski singled home Litovsky and Jack Tao in the top of the third. Duncan's double plated Winiarski and Parker Reynolds, making it a 5-4 game.
Scored on a wild pitch in the fifth inning, and Bluffton rallied with 4 more in the sixth despite getting just 1 hit. However, the Ravens responded with a run in the sixth, 3 in the 7th, and 2 more in the 8th as Anderson completed the sweep on Sunday evening. Seth Evans was saddled with the loss after giving up 1 run on 2 hits in the 7th inning. Rule continued his hot hitting with 3 knocks in Game 2. Winiarski went 2 of 5 with 3 RBIs and 2 runs scored. Reynolds walked 4 times while Litovsky drew 3 free passes. Duncan drove in a pair of runs. Litovsky, Winiarski, Reynolds, and Tao all crossed the dish twice in Game 2.
The Beavers were then back in action as they dropped their fifth straight decision, 11-8 at Manchester University on Wednesday, March 24th. Bluffton fell to 1-9 on the season, while the Spartans improved to 4-7 overall and in the conference.
Jacob Litovsky singled home fellow senior Reed Rule for a 1-0 lead in the top of the third, but as has been the script too many times already this season, the Beavers gave up 5 runs in the bottom half of the frame when Manchester cashed in thanks to 6 hits in the inning.
A 2-out solo shot by Garrett O'Reilly in the fourth made it 5-2 before the team struck with 2 more tallies in the bottom of the inning for a 7-2 spread. O'Reilly and Adam Duncan laced RBI singles in the sixth, and Parker Reynolds picked up Rule with the sack fly in the left to left an inning later as Bluffton pulled within 3 runs heading into the seventh inning stretch.
Manchester added 3 crucial insurance runs in the bottom of the 7th thanks to consecutive doubles by Hinshell and Pelt, opening an 11-5 lead that held up when the Bluffton's 3-run response in the 8th fell short. O'Reilly and Duncan crossed the dish before freshman Kenny Schneider lifted a sacrifice fly to center that picked up Jeff Strayer, ending the Bluffton scoring in the 8th inning.
A 2-out single by Lenny Winiarski was all Bluffton could muster in the 9th as Manchester held on for the 11-8 victory. O'Reilly and Duncan both sprayed it around with 3 knocks. Rule and O'Reilly, who drove in 2 runs, each scored twice. Freshman Sean Brock took the loss after surrendering 5 runs on 6 hits while recording just 1 out in the 3rd inning. Junior Jacob Bolkins tossed 2 innings of shutout ball, allowing 1 hit with 2 strikeouts.
The Beavers then traveled to Hanover College as they split a pair of 2-run games. Hanover took Game 1 6-4, and Bluffton bounced back with an 8-6 victory in the nightcap. The Beavers moved to 2-10 overall and in the conference, while Hanover stands 7-5 on both accounts.
A pair of doubles to lead off the bottom of the second led to 2 Panthers runs and an early 2-0 Hanover lead in Game 1. Bluffton evened it up in the top of the fourth when Jack Tao singled home. Reed Rule and Adam Duncan picked up Tao with his base hit to left.
The Beavers went up 4-2 an inning later thanks to a 2-run single by Parker Reynolds that drove in Jackson Rogan and Jacob Litovsky. However, the Panthers played a single run in the 7th before doubling their score with 3 more tallies in the 8th inning. They made the 6-4 lead hold up when Bluffton went down the order in the top of the 9th.
Senior Garrett O'Reilly gave the Beavers a great outing on the mound, allowing 3 runs on 5 hits and 7 innings of work with 8 strikeouts, but he did not factor in the decision thanks to 4 handover runs after he left the game. Jacob Dalton took the loss after allowing 3 runs on 4 hits and 2/3 of an inning. Reynolds led the Beavers with 2 hits and 2 RBIs.
With Game 2 tied 1-1 in the top of the third, Tao picked up RBIs number 2 and 3 for the game with his single to left. Rule and sophomore Nick Diana crossed the plate for a 3-1 Bluffton edge. Hanover knotted it with single runs in the bottom of third and fourth innings before a 4-run Bluffton fifth made it 7-3 in favor of the visitors. 3 errors led to 4 unearned tallies as Rule, Latowski, Tao, and O'Reilly all crossed the dish.
Rule singled home Jacob Bumgardner in the sixth, making it 8-4 Bluffton. Hanover put up 2 runs in the seventh, but the Beavers limited the home team to 1 hit over the final 2 frames for an 8-6 victory. Junior Spencer Garrison earned the win after tossing 2 shutout innings in the 7th and the 8th, striking out 3 while allowing 2 hits and 1 walk. Seth Evans notched his first save, giving up just 1 walk in the 9th inning. Rule had 3 hits and scored 3 times. Tal drove in 3 runs, while Duncan, Latowski, and Bumgarner all finished with multiple knocks.
The Beavers then were back in action, finally at home at Memorial Field when they played host to the Franklin Grizzlies. Bluffton hammered Franklin 15-5 in 6.5 innings in Game 1 before the visiting Grizzlies earned a split with a 9-1 victory in the nightcap. The Beavers moved to 3-11 on the season and in the HCAC, while Franklin stands at 7-5 on both accounts.
Bluffton fell behind 2-0 after half an inning, but the Beavers responded by sending 13 batters to the plate in an 8-run barrage, as the first frame took no less than 50 minutes to complete. Bluffton took advantage of 6 hits and a pair of Franklin errors en route to an 8-2 lead after 1. Jacob Latowski capped the first inning, scoring with a 2-run single.
The Beavers struck for 3 runs in the home fourth thanks to back-to-back triples by Nick Diana and Rule. Cale Sherborne and Diana added RBIs in the fifth before Lenny Winarski crossed the dish in the sixth inning following an errant pickoff attempt by the Grizzlies. Franklin put up 1 score in the seventh, but the Beavers took the game in mercy fashion 15-5 when they stranded 2 runners.
Rule went 4-for-4 with 2 triples, 2 RBI, and 2 runs scored. Diana drove in 4 runs and scored twice while going 2-of-4 at the dish. O'Reilly and Duncan both scored 3 times. Rule and Latowski drove in 2 runs apiece.
Got untracked after a tough first frame, and he earned the victory with a 5-inning effort. Seymour allowed 3 runs on 4 hits with 4 strikeouts and 5 walks. Junior Sam Meek worked the final out to get Bluffton off the field in the 7th.
Game 2 moved at a much quicker pace, which wasn't saying much since Game 1 took 3 hours and 15 minutes to play 6.5 innings. Franklin held a narrow 1-0 lead after 5 innings before a pair of Grizzlies runs in the 6th made it 3-0, though the visitors opened up with a 7-0 spread with 4 more tallies in an inning later thanks to a 2-run shot by Ryan Vixler and a 2-run double by Quentin Wellington. Jack Towell singled home Latowski in the 7th, but Franklin responded with scores in the 8th and 9th before daylight came to a halt midway through the final frame as Franklin cashed a 9-1 victory in Game 2. Jacob Bulkins took the loss despite a quality outing that saw the sophomore allowed just 3 runs and 6 hits in 6 innings of work. He fanned 6 and walked 2. Latowski chipped in with 2 safeties on Sunday night. The 7-hour day saw temperatures in the mid-30s with rain and sleet intermittent items on the menu.
Plus, we'll be back in action on Wednesday, March 31st, when the Beavers travel to Earlham for a 4 p.m. meeting with the Quakers. So we saw 2 sweeps there for the Beavers, and then finally got a couple of splits. But it just seems like when the Beavers' offense decides to erupt, the pitching isn't on the same scale with them, and then they have either really high scoring games or low scoring games, and they just can't seem to put it all together. And so they did get a few splits, but it just seems like it's still just struggling a little bit to put everything together.
Yeah, it's been a bit frustrating just seeing like the baseball players around campus and talking with them and they just haven't had the consistent performances off the mound, and it's put a lot of pressure on the lineup to produce a whole lot of runs and pretty much outscore the opponent. That's just a lot to ask for, you know, on a consistent basis to score, you know, 8 and 9 runs a game. It's just it's hard to ask for from any team, and I mean it's led to some bad results and getting swept a couple times. But hopefully they can figure it out sooner rather than later.
Definitely, I mean you could tell in the games the pitching has been improving, but it's not nearly to the extent it needs to be. But it is getting better, and then it always helps when the bats are out, especially in a first inning in that Franklin game. I think that first inning, I was talking to one of the baseball guys today, and they said that first inning took about 45 minutes. So, I mean, that was good. I'm sure that they can build off that win in that first game and, yeah, see where the season goes from there.
Yeah, and for them, I mean, we do have to remember we don't really have an indoor facility, and so it's been hard. They really haven't had a chance to really play. And so for them, this team is dominated by freshmen and sophomores. Even though they do have a lot of juniors and seniors that have played quality minutes, like most of this team is made up of freshmen and sophomores, and so they've never really played collegiate ball before. And so for them, it's just about gaining experience and getting better as the season goes on. It's a 40-game season. We're only about – or excuse, I believe it's a 30 or 40 game season. They're about a fourth to a third of the way through the season, and so for them, it's just about getting better as the season goes on. But I'm sure it's frustrating. But they have to just continue to build on it and keep moving forward. But let's go ahead and move on to softball. They had a busy week as they played two games this past week because their game on Sunday was canceled due to field conditions just not being where they needed to be, so they didn't want to ruin the field. So just two games this week. First game was on Sunday, March 21st, when they earned a split at Albion. Bluffton took game one 3-2 before the Britons won game two 10-2 in six innings. The Beavers moved to 3-7, while Albion stands at 3-1 on the season.
Bluffton plated a pair of runs thanks to an Albion error in inning one. Sophomores Bobby Adams and Lily Tate came around to score when Taylor Shimp reached courtesy of an Albion miscue.
The home team pulled even with a homer in the second, a sack fly in the fourth before Sydney Bones double sent Shimp scurrying home at the top of the sixth. Senior Katie McCord picked up the win after tossing three innings of shutout relief. McCord allowed just one hit and struck out one batter. Tate paced the Beavers offense with three hits.
Bowen scored in the second inning of game two, and Taylor Stanky singled home Tate in the third, but two Albion runs in the bottom of the fourth and two more in the sixth gave the Britons a 10-2 mercy rule in Sunday's night capper.
Stanky, who was at the soccer field for senior day on Saturday, paced the Beavers with three safeties in game two. Adams added a pair of hits for the visitors. Sophomore Aaron Norman fell to 1-2 after giving up six runs on seven hits in her three-inning start. She walked three and struck out two.
Beavers were then back in action when they faced Defiance College in a non-conference doubleheader. They did drop both of those games, and Defiance improved to 5-8-1 on the season, while the Beavers slipped to 3-9.
The Yellow Jackets took advantage of four hits and a Bluffton error in the top of the first to go up 4-0 before the Beavers took their first turn at the dish. A two-run Hubble homer in the second made it 6-0 before another four spot in the third pushed the Jacket lead to 10-0. Hubble delivered with her second tater in as many innings following a two-run single by Roberts.
Junior Taylor Shimp broke up the no-no with a one-out single in the bottom of the fifth. Senior Sydney Bowen followed with a base knock to the left field. Zinkhorn RBI single plated Shimp, but Bowen was gunned down at trying for third as the visitors took game one 10-1 in five innings. Junior Grace Fillinger surrendered six runs on eight hits in just two innings on the bump.
Game two saw the Jackets go out on top in the first frame once again, this time 2-0. However, a drop fly by Defiance in the home half allowed Bobby Adams to cross the dish. A Shimp single picked up Taylor Stanky, nodding the game at 2-2 heading to inning.
The Beavers took their first lead of the afternoon in inning three when Shimp plated Bowen with a bases-loaded single. Bluffton went up 4-2 on a Riley Langstaff ground ball that pushed Adams across the plate.
With Bluffton holding a slim 4-3 lead, Adams came up big with a double to center that plated Bowen for a 5-3 lead. Hubble then torched Bluffton hurlers with six RBIs, two homers on the day. Tied 5-5 with her two-run single up the gut. Muller's RBI ground out proved to be the game winner when Bluffton came up empty in the seventh. Senior Katie McCord fell to 1-3 after allowing six runs and 11 hits in a complete game effort. She stuck out three and walked two of the Yellow Jackets. Shemp, Bowen, and Adams all finished with two hits in the nightcap. Shemp drove in two while Bowen and Adam each scored twice.
And so overall for them, just not a great way to be able to play this week. They did have a non-conference game there were exhibition games against Manchester. They did win both of those 8-0 and 12-4. And like I said, on the 20th, they were supposed to host Hanover College, but those games were postponed due to field conditions. So we'll see if those games are made up. If not, they might just be canceled. But next time the Beavers will be in action will be at home on Friday when they host Case Western Reserve. But Grant, just a tough week for the Beaver volleyball team, or excuse me, softball team. But for them, once again, I mean, they're in the same boat as the baseball team, and most of their players are freshmen and sophomores, and they really have not had a lot of experience. They're actually playing a lot of collegiate softball.
Yeah, but I think the positive thing for the softball team is all these games are non-conference, and they have time, to figure out their best lineup and figure out their best pitching staff, and the go-to they need to have to be prepared a little bit better than baseball. Obviously, just playing more games before conference play when it really matters. And I think that's a big positive the softball team can take. And I think they have a good number of batters that can really step up in the lineup. And then their pitching has been pretty solid across the board. Obviously you're going to have a couple bad outings here and there, but for the most part, they've kept those games relatively low scoring. I've been pretty impressed with the softball team. Just a couple decisions that have gone against them, but I think they can really have a positive season in the HCAC.
Yeah, like you said, they have been through in a lot of close games, and it's just a matter of time till they grind one of those out, get a run, or get a save, or something along those lines. And as you said, the consistent bats are always a positive for this softball team, as you can look to these women in the lineup and know that they're going to produce.
We're going to go ahead and move on over to men's soccer. Men's soccer team made the long trip to Franklin College on Wednesday, March 24th, to play the Grizzlies under the lights. The Heartland Conference rivals that normally square off on a Saturday afternoon battled to a 1-1 tie after 110 minutes of physical action. Bluffton moved to 1-4-2 on the season, while Franklin stands at 1-5-1.
The 5 points in HCHC action marks the most for the Bluffton men since 2014, when the Bluffton Beavers finished 2-7 in the league. It also is just the second time since 2010 that the men have notched more than 3 points in conference contests.
It took over 75 minutes for Franklin to break the ice, but when Bluffton needed less than 6 minutes to net the equalizer, as sophomore Hunter Coffey hit Pater in the 84th minute. And the action was intense in spite of a lack of scoring, as the handing out of cards resembled like a blackjack table in Vegas. When the dust settled for 110 minutes on the pitch, the score was still deadlocked at 1-1, while 10 cards had been doled out by the folks with whistles.
The Grizzlies fired 5 more shots than Bluffton, 21-16, thanks to a 10-4 advantage in the second 45 minutes. Both teams finished with 6 corner kicks, while Bluffton was called for one more foul, 8-7.
Standout sophomore Taryn Newport racked up 6 saves on Wednesday night. Freshman Elijah Zimmerman fired 4 shots to lead the Beavers, while Jacob Kiger finished with 3 shots before being dealt a second-half red card in minute 73. Elijah Greaser, and Justin Combs all chipped in with 2 shots for the visitors.
Beavers were then back in action today on Sunday, March 28th. While the Beavers tried to stick with the Panthers early, they struggled to keep the Heap up in a 5-0 setback. The men's team fell to 1-5-2 overall and 1-5-2 in the HCHC conference, while Hanover upped its mark to 6-1-1 on both accounts.
The Panthers came out quickly, stunning the Beavers with 2 goals at the 16:50 and 24:02 mark. The Beavers tried to answer but managed just 1 shot taken in the first period compared to Hanover's 8 attempts.
Unfortunately, the second half was a mirror image of the first, with the Panthers knocking in 3 more goals at 50:07, 59:05, and 65:19 marks. Bluffton kept battling, but Hanover was too much on a Sunday as the home team notched a 5-0 victory for the Beavers. Grant Ingham and Elijah Greaser led the squad with two shots apiece. Tanner Newport piled up 6 saves against the Panthers. The game itself was very animated with 6 yellow cards being called, 3 on each side of the ledger.
Bluffton will be back in action on Wednesday, March 31st, on its home turf at 3:30 p.m. to close out the regular season against the Manchester University Spartans. So, obviously, not the results that we wanted. Expected to go into Franklin and win, and unfortunately gave up a tough goal, and then Hunter Coffey was able to answer back with a nice goal to at least let us get out of there with a tie, but I know we were frustrated. And then we faced a very good Hanover team, and in my opinion, is the best team in the conference based off of who we've played. It's a tough decision, but it's about making steps in the right progress. And you're seeing that this Beaver soccer team is scoring more, has more points in the conference than any time for only the second time in the 2000 since 2010. So, as frustrating as it can be, they are making steps in the right direction.
Frustrating week, not the results we wanted. Obviously, going to Hanover is always going to be a tough ask. Obviously, we have injuries and a suspension with Kiger not being able to play Saturday. But I think we got to finish the season in a positive direction going into next year. I think that's the goal for us right now.
Yeah, definitely. We got one more game at home on Wednesday. And then after that, we will see who we will play in the tournament. When we win that game on Wednesday, we could finish better than a lot of people thought.
Agreed. This Beavers team was projected to finish in last place. So I think a finish anywhere other than in 10th place is something where you're proving the doubters wrong and at least putting the conference on notice that we're not going to be rolled over every single year. But let's move over to women's soccer. The Bluffton University women's soccer team hosted Franklin College on Wednesday, March 24th. The Beavers fell 3-0 to the Grizzlies, and their overall record now on the year is 0-6-1 overall and 0-5-1 in the Heartland Conference, while the Grizzlies improved to 3-2.
Trailing 1-0 after the first 45 minutes, it was tough sledding for the home team in the second half as the win put the Beavers at a decided disadvantage in period two. Franklin cashed in less than 2 minutes into the second half before a free kick from Diana Rolig in minute 67 sealed the outcome as the Grizzlies moved above 500 with a 3-0 shutout victory.
Bluffton fired 4 more shots than the visitors, 10-6 with a 6-2 advantage in the opening stanza. The Beavers finished with 2 more fouls, 6-4, while Franklin forced 1 more corner. Freshman Ashton Cornetti recorded a pair of saves between the pipe. Senior Maddie Huffman paced the offense with 5 shots, including 3 on frame.
The women's team also traveled to Hanover College on Sunday, March 28th, for a Heartland Conference matchup. The Beavers had a momentum challenge on their hands, playing against a Panther club that is the cream of the crop in the HCAC. Hanover took care of business with a 6-0 victory on a cold and windy Sunday. Women's squad is now 0-7-1 overall and 0-6-1 in the conference, while Hanover improved to 7-0 and 7-0 in the HCAC.
The game plan for the Beavers went out the window as Hanover scored quickly at the 20:03 mark and then racked up 2 more tallies in minute 31 and 36. The first half was rough for the squad, with Hanover taking all 11 shots in the opening stanza. Bluffton forced 1 corner kick, while Hanover put up 3.
Unfortunately, the second half was more of the same as the Bluffton women struggled to slow down the Panthers. Hanover scored 3 more goals, including 2 in the final 9 minutes, en route to a convincing 6-0 shutout. Senior Sienna Sullivan had 7 saves for the Beavers. The home team finished with 2 more fouls. Corner kicks were 8-1 in Hanover's favor, and the Panthers fired all 26 shots in the match.
The women will be back in action on Wednesday, March 28th, when the Beavers wrap up the regular season at Manchester University. So another tough loss there for the women on the week. 2 tough losses against Franklin and Hanover, and it just seems like the women are just struggling to put it all together, but they face 2 very, very good teams and top-of-the-conference teams this week.
Yeah, it's they're pretty frustrated with where they're at as well. I mean, you can't blame them. They had a lot of expectations compared to where the program's usually at expectation-wise, and they just haven't been able to put together, like you said. And and they're just on a bit of a scoring drought right now. But this week was tough because Franklin's a pretty high mid-table team in on the women's side of the conference, and Hanover's number one, and it's not very close on the women's side. They're a very good team depth-wise, and they have a lot of talent all over the board. So both games were always going to be tough, and you know that they did compete for 180 minutes this week, and that's all you can really ask for.
Agreed. Hopefully they can find a way to get a win against Manchester and finish above them there in the regular season. But let's move over to football, who was back in action on sunny Saturday, March 27th, as the Beavers welcomed Franklin College to Saltzman Stadium. Bluffton entered the contest with a record of 3-1 as they looked to rebound from their only loss of the season at Hanover last week. Franklin came into Sunday's game with a 2-1 mark, their only blemish, a 56-19 shellacking at the hands of MSJ last week. After 60 minutes of hard-fought football, the Beavers fell by a score 26-21. It was a sloppy performance from Bluffton that was also riddled with injuries to some key contributors.
On Bluffton's opening drive, the Beavers fumbled a handoff, and Franklin took over at the Bluffton 44-yard line. The Bluffton defense held the visitors to one first down and regained possession when Franklin came up empty on a fourth down rush. However, a 15-yard punt by the Beavers had Franklin back in business in enemy territory, and this time the Grizz cashed in with a 31-yard field goal. At the 2:20 mark in the first quarter, Franklin punched it in with a 9-yard Cameron Johnson rush, and after one quarter of play, the Beavers trailed 10-0.
Sophomore Brady Hallenstein intercepted a Franklin pass less than a minute in the second quarter, putting Bluffton in scoring position, but the Beavers would give the ball right back as they fumbled it inside the 5-yard line when they were knocking on the door. Bluffton was stout on defense and got the ball back. The offense put in a nice drive together at the 4:40 mark. Zachary Nobis ran it for a touchdown of 4 yards out. Franklin answered right back with a 13-play, 67-yard drive, making it 17-7 heading into halftime.
Franklin came out and connected on a field goal following a second straight 13-play drive, making the score 20-7 with 9:38 to play in period three. The Beavers would not go away, though, as they put together an 11-play scoring drive cap when Nobis found wide receiver Lorenz Johnson cutting across the field for a 3-yard touchdown pass. Point after attempt was good by Daniel Blanford, pulling the Beavers within one score, 20-14.
Franklin pushed it back to 26-14 when Dane Andrews found Oren Schmidt for a 15-yard touchdown strike midway through the final stanza. With just 2 seconds remaining, backup quarterback Darnell Thomas threw a pretty touchdown pass to Plummy Gardner. Sadly, it would be too little too late for the Beavers as Franklin corralled the onside kick attempt to seal the 26-21 victory.
Bluffton garnered 345 yards on offense, including 195 yards on the ground, compared to 409 from the Grizzlies. Franklin converted 8 of 15 opportunities on third down, while Bluffton moved their chains on 6 of 13 third down chances and 2 more times on fourth down. The home team finished with a 5-minute edge in time of possession. Nobis threw 21 passes, completing 11 for 121 yards with 1 touchdown and 1 interception. He added to the run game with 63 yards on and a score on 19 carries. Senior Darian Greeley powered through with a total of 63 yards on just 10 carries. Sophomore Malik Tucker also went over 60 yards on 11 carries. Dana Shoulders led the defense with 8 tackles. Keith Holmes was in on 7 stops, while Hallenstein and Nolan Childress added 6 tackles apiece.
The Beavers will be in action next Saturday, April 3rd, when they travel to Mount St. Joe to face off with the Lions at 1:30 p.m. I think the key word for that game on Saturday was injuries. Both quarterback Zachary Nobis went down, as well as lineman Cade McClellan and starting running back Darian Greeley all went down with injuries throughout that game, as well as Steph Kosakowski on the defensive side of the ball broke his hand. So those are big key contributive losses that really had an effect in that game. I believe the Beavers had a really good drive going until Darian Greeley got hurt. McClellan gets hurt on the next drive, and Nobis gets hurt on the drive after that, and it was. The injuries definitely riddled any type of comeback the Beavers could have really had.
Yeah, when the Beavers were down, I believe 20-14, I got just across the 50-yard line, and then a tipped pick, and it just felt the wind come out of the sails, and it was just very frustrating because, I mean, turnovers and injuries really dictated that game, and it was frustrating to see us play such a good opponent that tight and not being able to come out with the victory at home. I still believe this Beavers team's a top half team, that you couldn't say that for a couple years now, that this Beavers team can really play with anybody in this league, and I think that's a pretty impressive sign moving forward for this program.
Definitely have to agree with that. Great job that Coach Krebs has done in order of fielding this competitive team. And, in this COVID time, the coaches always have a backup plan. So I think the backups for these starters that went down with injuries could be, we don't know how long they're out, but they will have the players that will step up, and it's all a matter of time of just adjusting.
Definitely going to have those guys step up, and maybe a blessing in disguise that this season's in the spring and these guys have had a little more time to be in the system and learn, because there's a lot of freshmen there on the depth chart. So I'm excited to see how they do on Saturday against a very good Mount St. Joe team that beat Franklin pretty handily. But, I mean, you saw us go and compete with the preseason favorites Hanover and lost on a touchdown with 15 seconds to go. So, like you said, Grant, this team can compete with anybody, and I'm excited to see what they can do. But let's move over and wrap it up with track, who finally get an outdoor season. March 27th, the Beavers headed to Cedarville University to compete in their first outdoor track meet since the 2019 season at the Yellow Jacket Collegiate Outdoor Open. Buffton showed up prepared to battle through some tough NCAA Division II competition on Saturday.
The meet kicked off with field events, including the men's and women's hammer throw. In the men's competition, sophomore Wyatt Walker placed 28th with a throw of 38.52 meters. For the women, senior Stephanie Fox took 16th with a throw of 39.90 meters, followed by sophomore Emma Payne, who placed 17th with a throw of 37.82, and freshman Maggie Hartzler, who finished 25th with a throw of 36.12.
The distance athletes were challenged by being put in events that were out of their comfort zone, and a couple of runners competed in events that they had never competed in before. Freshman Ethan Lai competed his first 3,000-meter steeplechase with a time of 10:31:28. Freshman Janiyah Freewalt came in with a time of 45:10:22, and sophomore Max Chandler finished with a time of 35:35:45 in their inaugural 10K races.
I went into this race very excited to run the 10K, Chandler said. Once I started warming up, it seemed surreal that this was about to happen. I got to the line and started freaking out and told myself it's just a race. All of a sudden, bang goes the gun and the world disappears and I run. I felt great during the whole race and felt I can do so much more after I finished. I can't wait to run it again. Distance coach Brendan Moody said the distance squad had several good opening performances for the outdoor season. One performance of note is freshman Miranda Billman running a 40-second lifetime best in the 5,000 meter. Billman finished with the 5,000-meter race with a time of 20:19.
In the women's 200-meter dash, sophomore Madeline Schaefer finished with a time of 28:58. In the men's triple jump, junior Brandon James placed sixth amongst some tough competition with a leap of 12:84. Freshman Desmond Geist tore up the track in the 110-meter hurdles with a time of 15:50, placing him first in the conference and 26th in the country. Program director Kayla Jockno had this to say about meet number one. It was a solid opener for the first meet of the year. We didn't have many expectations coming in, but we were blown out of the water at the potential we saw. Now we are excited to train for the next few weeks in preparation for Manchester.
And like Grant said, Manchester will be the next meet that they have Saturday, April 10th, so they get Easter weekend off, and then they will compete again Saturday, April 10th at Manchester University. But it just had to feel good for this track team to finally get back outdoors and actually be able to compete again. And so, once again, a very young team, but you're seeing some freshmen put in some really good times and some really great finishes against some Division II level who are scholarship athletes.
Yeah, you read those quotes about the coaches talk about how excited they are for the potential, and you can just see how excited they are for those young athletes to be able to compete at things that they haven't done before, and how well they did, and how impressed the coaching staff was.
All right, yeah. I mean, it's an exciting track team, and I'm excited how they continue to do, because they just seem to go and battle against some very good competition week in and week out. But that does wrap up this episode of the Beaver Day, and we thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Actually, we will not be on next Sunday. We will be off for Easter weekend. So please check us out on the website next Wednesday. It will be uploaded Wednesday morning. And check us out on bluffdenwit.com. But we will be back in action then the Sunday after at 7 p.m. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. The Wit 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaverdam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Patrick Spillman, joined alongside with Grant Ingham and Garrett Heitkamp. And we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beavs.